In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lutherans have, at times, had the unfortunate practice of robbing St. Peter in order to give St. Paul his due. But thankfully, the Church, to which we also desire to belong, in her God-given wisdom has chosen to remember and give thanks for these two great apostles on the same festival day. And if St. Paul shall be the champion of justification by grace through faith, then St. Peter shall be the reminder that such faith is not the one thing left that you must do for yourself. But in order to obtain such faith, God instituted the ministerial office of preaching and the sacraments, that he might work faith in those who hear the Holy Gospel, and so also in you. And of course, it's all about Jesus. Everything, everything, everything depends on him. Without Jesus Christ, there is no church, there is no gospel, there is no faith, no forgiveness, no life or salvation. Apart from this Son of the living God, there is no Father, no Holy Spirit, no heaven, no earth, nor anything else. So what you need, in the deepest, most profound, and significant way, what you need is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. This your song must ever be, the faith in your heart and the confession on your lips. That he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who became flesh and bore your sin in his own body, who was crucified for your transgressions and raised for your justification. And there is salvation in no one else, in no other name. There are those who would conclude, and those who have concluded, that celebrating the memory of the saints and apostles detracts from this faith and confession of Jesus the Christ. And some would go so far to say that even the Church herself and the ministry of preaching and the sacrament are really at best a distraction from the one and only thing that really matters, only Jesus. Perhaps you have done the same thing in your own way, when you have reassured yourself that you can live and do just fine without God's word and the preaching of it, without recalling your holy baptism, without the spoken word of holy absolution, without the body and blood of Jesus. Because, after all, at least you love Jesus and you believe in him, and that's all that really matters, right? But tell me then, how can you claim to love Jesus but not long to hear what he says to you? How can you claim to believe in him without depending for dear life upon his forgiving voice? And just what Jesus is it whom you claim to love and trust if you think you are able to have him apart from his flesh and blood? Little wonder that you do not speak the gospel to others. Little wonder that you do not serve your neighbor with deeds of love in your own flesh. Little wonder that you do not forgive those who trespass against you. Little wonder that you do not bring anyone into the church. Since you have fabricated for yourself a disembodied Jesus who never does or says anything, but only hides away like a warm fuzzy in your own self-centered heart. But the Son of Man, Jesus, the Christ of God, he is none such as this. Even the guesses of the people in his own day that he was John the Baptist or one of the prophets were closer to the truth than this fairy tale. But even these are not sufficient either. If you want to go to heaven, You need a far different Jesus than this. For he is the personal Word of God the Father from all eternity, who for you and your salvation became flesh. Word and Word made flesh. These are who and what your Savior is. You do not have him in your heart nor in your life if you do not have these. The Word in your ears. The Word made flesh upon your lips. Which is why, beginning with St. Peter and the other apostles, including then also St. Paul, your Lord and Savior has provided for the preaching of his Word and the administration of his flesh with his Word. For these are how and where you have your Jesus, the true and right Jesus, who really and only matters. There is no church because there is no gospel, because there is no Jesus Christ, not for you at least, not apart from this preaching and administration of his Word and his flesh. As St. Paul writes to the Romans, how shall they believe in one whom they have not heard, since faith comes by hearing the word of Christ? But how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? It is in this sense that St. Peter is the rock. Not by any virtue of his own person or faith, but specifically as a confessor of Christ, that is to say, as a minister of his word, and what is more, as the first of those apostles who are called and sent by Christ to preach the gospel in his name. So long as we recognize that Christ himself and he alone is the builder, and so long as we remember that this church he builds is his church, it does not belong to us, nor to Peter, nor to anyone else but Christ, then we should not be offended that Christ has chosen Peter and the other apostles to be the rock foundation of his church on earth. As St. Paul writes, Christ himself is the cornerstone. He gives strength and shape and stability to the foundation of apostles and prophets. And through them, that is, through their ministry of the word of the gospel, Christ himself is at work to establish, to build, and to uphold his church. The most central and characteristic aspect of this holy ministry is the preaching and practice of the law and the gospel for repentance and forgiveness of sin. Thus, when Christ addresses Peter as a minister of the gospel, and when he describes the rock foundation of this ministry for his church, he focuses upon the office of the keys and holy absolution. Everything in his church is so arranged for the forgiveness of sins, your sins. Those who try to define and describe the church apart from this ministry of the gospel and the office of the keys of forgiveness invariably return to the legalistic religion of the Pharisees, misunderstanding the Christian life primarily in terms of the law instead of the gospel, what you must do instead of Christ. These were the false confessions that St. Paul in particular had to preach and teach against. And so where St. Peter is the apostle who embodies especially the ministry of the means of grace as the words and deeds of Jesus, St. Paul is the apostle who, above all, exemplifies the life that is lived by grace through faith in Christ. A life that leans not on its own reason or strength, but returns daily to holy baptism, depends upon the word of holy absolution, and hungers for the body and blood of Jesus in the Holy Communion. For by his death he has destroyed death, and by his rising again he has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who are baptized into him, including you. His blood has cleansed you of your sins, and it continues to cleanse you. even as his body also strengthens and preserves you in his own life and salvation, so that safe within his flesh and blood, within his holy apostolic church, the gates of hell and the powers of death shall never prevail against you, but you shall live with him forever. To Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, be all glory and honor and praise forever and always. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.